Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Jesus reminds us to watch for the signs of his return. Today, we will explore further what we are seeing in our times that line up with what signs he said would indicate the potential of the end and his return. We will also discuss the practical meaning of this as we watch and as a remnant prepare as he so leads. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is End Times Friday, and we're heading into the last couple of weeks here, Kathy, of December. This will be aired on the 20th of December, and you get to see your beautiful Christmas tree there.
Oh, that's true. I'm in season for this one.
So this one is Christmas time, and that's a beautiful tree. Like, and by the way, take a tree like that. You got how many? You got of those?
We have nine of them in the house this year.
Okay, so how long does it take to decorate a tree like that?
Oh, I don't know. Probably maybe hour and a half each or so.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's yeah, fine. It takes some time, but we love it. We love it. It's a sweet time for sure.
Yeah, we have a big family room, and we have a 12-foot tree. That's both high and wide, you know. So
right.
That takes a while.
That one, yes, yeah. Yeah, our family room too. Well, actually, our family room tree, you know, although it's the biggest and has the most ornaments, it takes the least amount of time because we have eight of us putting ornaments on at the same time. So that one goes a little quicker for us.
Yeah, that's fun. Well, we are, you know, lots happening in the world with what we're talking about in terms of, you know, dynamics of things. And remember that part of the reason that we have this on a regular basis is that, first of all, the world is very dynamic and things are happening.
Right.
And we're trying to basically follow through on what Christ told everybody, and that is watch the signs, mm-hmm. particularly when Israel returns as a nation. And he said that's kind of a milestone. He said that generation will see, you know, the end. Now that we know Israel's returned as a nation and they have 51%, over 51% of all the Jews living in Israel, and they officially became a nation in their mind in 2012. If all of that is true, and we've understood that correctly, in the next, you know, 40 some years would be the return of the process. And remember, we know that Christ returns at the end of the 7-year tribulation. Mm-hmm. So when people, and I kind of jokingly say this with people, because they say, you know, I'm praying, and they pray, come, Lord Jesus, come.
Right.
And I said, well, that's good, but it ain't going to happen tomorrow. I said, because we know that it's a 7-year process, mm-hmm. and particularly it'll be the, you know, the beginning of the tribulation, which will be the one world government, the WEF, you know, we talked about the World Economic Forum and the CFR, Council for Foreign Relations. They're actively working to get the world into a one world government. And they, mm-hmm. and they say so, and they have a lot of people that are moving in that direction. So I believe that we'll know the beginning of the tribulation. And because remember, and it's kind of an interesting concept, because if I said to you, Kathy, are you and Dan experiencing tribulation? How would you interpret that?
That's just everyday life, right? You run into tribulation.
Well, I mean, how would you describe what a tribulation is? If I said, are you having tribulation? And you said, yeah, what would you be describing?
Just trouble or difficulty,
trouble.
Something that's tough to navigate, right?
Yeah. And see, this is the interesting thing, is that the word implies difficulty, tribulation, hard things. It's going to be really tough. Interesting enough, when it first is started, it's the opposite. The world will not look at it as tribulation. It's rather a solution to mm-hmm. an economic collapse that the one world government comes out and says, everybody in the world is experiencing this hardship.
Right.
But we have a solution for the world, and the world willingly accepts it. Mm-hmm. And it would be similar, and this is, you know, what we've seen, because that's always, you know, because I've known a lot about this and thought about this, and I kept saying, how does the world give up their sovereignty?
Mm-hmm.
because in the history of the world, no nation has given up their sovereignty to the world, and unless by force.
Right.
So when Hitler tried to conquer, you know, Europe, they didn't willingly give it to him. They were taken over by force.
Mm-hmm.
But the world willingly says yes. And I was like, how's that going to work? Well, we have COVID. And I saw it happen in lightning speed within 30 days. The entire world surrendered to a new policy of social distancing, mask, not go to work, can't go to restaurants, worldwide. And it happened in lightning speed with that's a better solution than not doing it.
Right.
There wasn't any much resistance at first. You know, there were some pockets of it. Now we have been shown that the vaccine and other things and the social distancing, for example, they actually said it was harmful because it's better to have natural immunity and go ahead and get it than it would be to try to prevent it. Really interesting enough, it negatively impacted people's immune systems.
Right.
Because they weren't getting exposed to typical bacteria that needed to be exposed to keep their immune system going.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the opposite of it, but there was a willing acceptance of that. And so it's like, huh, that was amazing to me. Wow, the world does. But the world tribulation is not, when it starts, it's not a awful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't appear that if you said to the normal person, are we in the tribulation? They would say, no, this is a great solution. Matter of fact, believers, and we're going to talk about this, believers will say, isn't this an answer from God? And isn't this a good thing? You know, okay, so we know that, and we'll know when, and people that are having a spiritual heart will know, okay, this is it. This is the beginning of it. Now this is interesting. 3.5 years later, and this is exact timing, the Antichrist will declare himself to be God.
Mm-hmm.
That ushers in the wrath of God in the last 3.5 years, where now the world is under severe tribulation. But they are convinced that the problem is Israel and Israel's God. And if we can eliminate Israel, then, and by the way, probably the Christians are gone through the rapture. And again, people think, well, we'll be gone before the tribulation. I think probably not, maybe mid-trib and maybe post-trib, but we're protected in some way. But the focus is on Israel, and they try to annihilate Israel, but they can't.
Mm-hmm.
So then they decide, you know what? We're thinking of this backwards. They have all this technology, and we can't overcome that technology. But what they can't overcome is just people.
Right.
So let's just go back to old-type warfare, and we're going to gather 200 million soldiers, and we're going to come against them, and we'll just march right into their country and kill them all.
Yeah, and that's what the Battle of Armageddon is described as, correct? It's
called the Battle of Armageddon in the Valley of Megiddo. That is when Christ returns.
Mm-hmm.
And they go to make that battle, but Christ returns and everybody is killed. And then Israel is established now as the ruling in the world. And Christ rules from Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he'll be able to go anywhere he wants to, and so will we. So when we look at come, Lord Jesus, come, it's really, therefore, if that's what we think, and by the way, I believe why we're in such an exciting time is that if we're in that time and the tribulation starts, he's coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be 7 years.
But that is something to rejoice over and to be excited about and to pray ahead of to still, correct?
Absolutely. And to think of our messaging and why we're encouraging everybody to stay with us and be exposed to thinking this through. And the one thing we do keep saying, the signs are theirs. A lot of things are happening that appears might be true.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly because of the World Economic Forum, WEF, and the Council for Foreign Relations, they, in the last 3 years, they've gone from kind of underground putting this together to now openly and publicly stating, we are going to establish a one world government by 2030. That's their timing. So, okay, that happened. That's happening. And so we want everybody to pay attention. We have learned, don't think that you can predict exactly when.
Right.
Because God says nobody knows. He said, even I don't know. But there'll be signs because John saw it. I know it. He says, I know it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I know when what's going to happen. I just don't know when it's going to happen. And so we can't say, even though they say 2030, are we guaranteed that that's going to start then? No, we can't.
Right.
But It's to pay attention. So go ahead.
I was just going to say, and part of the pay attention, in fact, to me, the most important part of the pay attention is as we see this timeline, you know, escalating and coming closer, regardless, it raises our urgency to make sure we're paying attention to what God is paying attention to.
Yeah.
And, you know, to be loving what he loves, hating what he hates, to have his heart for the world around us. And if anything, it should put a big exclamation point on the urgency to live for God and to put his glory on display and to share Christ with others. That at the end of the day, to have our hearts ready and to encourage our community and the people around us to have their hearts ready. It's all about readying the bride, really.
Yeah, yeah. And when you think of the sequence, the phase we're in now, which is pre-tribulation,
mm-hmm.
We know why, because we're not in the tribulation yet. And there is going to be a tribulation, so we know we're pre-tribulation, that God's heart is that none shall perish.
Exactly.
So, hey, children of his, I want you to spread the good news and be careful not to get caught up in the political stuff of it.
Right.
But rather, it's still about God's heart of inviting people to know him.
Yes, absolutely.
And because of the times, there's opportunity. You know, like for example, you know, you and I know, and we're actually in our ministry are going to be working on this more. But the young people have a real heart to say, you know, first of all, I'm not sure there's any truth because it doesn't seem like anybody believes it. But when you start offering it to them,
mm-hmm.
hey, this is truth, and you can find, and then they hit all. Oh, and now they start responding to it. And they have, I think, a desire to pursue the truth. And if we offer the truth and they experience the truth, they will be, I think they'll be a gigantic force in the world.
Right. You know what's interesting? I have not, I'd have to go back and try to find the stat. I think I read it in the Morning Brew, but it was talking about the sales of books and coming back of bookstores and, you know, blah, blah. But in it, the statistic for this year is that the growth in purchases of Bibles has outgrown the growth in purchases of any other books.
Right. Yep.
In this year. So I think that's really telling too, that we are seeing this window of opportunity to really, you know, people are hungry because things are escalating. And even if you don't know the prophecies of the Bible, you recognize something is going on, right? And so I think in that people are beginning to seek and ask more questions and there is more room for harvest for sure.
Right. That's right. Know? Yep. Yeah. And then for believers, as people come to know Christ, then, and this is what we're, our focus is on our ministry, is to invite people to learn to abide.
Mm-hmm.
To what does it mean to walk with God in the kingdom of God, surrendered to him, following the Holy Spirit, being led by him as we then live out the covenant. And the covenant is while you're living in a difficult place, a world, I want to bless you. To make you a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And that blessing is a flow through. I want you to invite other people to experience the grand life that I have, that I show you. And I want you to invite believers not to ignore this.
Right.
And just live in the flesh, but rather, and by the way, Romans 8 says when they live in, this is believers that live in the flesh are at enmity against God.
Mm-hmm.
And not going to experience the covenant. And you know, this is why we are so committed to share what we know to be true. And the neat thing for us and our leaders and the people that go through the ministry is they begin to recognize it's true.
Mm-hmm.
God will resolve all your issues. God will bless you. Now, remember, it's not about necessarily building wealth. It's not necessarily all material stuff, but it's a grand life of, and we'll have to have Dave and Melissa Dunkel back on as a guest because he just shared with me an amazing story of just God says, how about this?
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
And there's lots of them, by the way. We're going to try to have, I've talked to Scott and Kristen Cornell, their daughter, Grace,
mm-hmm.
that has an overwhelming story. And we want her to come on and share it. And these are the things that excite me because when I listen to them, it's just grabs the inner soul of excitement of, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. how amazing is this? And God keeps saying, that's normal.
Right. Right.
You know, live
it. Well, and let's talk about the why behind that. You know, he not only is it out of his love for all of us, but also to bring him glory, to make his name known. I mean, from the very beginning, when you look back as he made covenant with his children in Israel, it was all about demonstrating to the rest of the world, you know, they were his chosen people, that he would demonstrate what it looks like to follow him as the one true God.
Right.
And those, the blessings that came with that were to be a demonstration of this is who is the real God.
Right.
Pay attention. And it was to make him known to the rest of the world. And that's really what you're talking about right now. And I think so many times we look at the stories in the Bible, or too many Christians look at the stories in the Bible and think he only worked that way back then. And so that's why what you're saying is so important. Sharing the stories, it is like daily, hourly, very normal for us to see God work in incredible supernatural ways. And we need to get more comfortable sharing those stories with people so that they see God's love and his faithfulness and just his righteousness on display, right?
Right. Yeah. And think about if we're headed toward either a difficult time or even the tribulation, that God is saying, first of all, I want you to learn to walk with me, because you're going to have to understand the life of the supernatural. And let me show you that now. Mm-hmm. And then, by the way, I want to bless you and show you that regardless of the circumstances you have. And I'm going to show you how to give that away. And because why? Well, because his call will be to separate what's called the goat from the sheep prior to the tribulation, is people will start to realize this is right. Yes, I'm going to learn this, and we're going to build a community. We're going to have people around us that walk in faith with us, you know, et cetera. And then think about when the tribulation happens, there's going to be an opportunity, because it talks about basically taking the mark of the beast, which is the economic system that is going to mm-hmm. be the beast, which is going to be attractive at the beginning of it, like a good thing. Because, hey, I've got financial right. trouble like everybody else.
And will look like a solution. Yeah.
And it'll be a solution. And so isn't this a good thing? But Christ, through those that have spiritual discernment and the ability to, in community, walk together, will say, no, wait a minute. This is mm-hmm. something that God's saying no. And by the way, and people ask me this question a lot. Am I going to know that?
Right.
And I said, now think about it. I said, if God says, do not take the mark of the beast, we got to know that that's the mark.
Right.
And if it is, he'll say, that's it. Do mm-hmm. not do it. Do not do it. And it'll be clear as a bell. I said, don't worry. It won't be fuzzy. Don't be fretting like, am I going to get it right? Am I going to get it right? It's not your burden. We just have to have a heart to receive it.
And there's the key right there, because we could also be blindly just following the world and not listening to God. And if you're not listening to God and you're not spending time with him, then I don't know that you would expect to have a warning, or even that you would heed. I would say not that you wouldn't have a warning, but that you would have ears to hear when he is warning you, this is the mark, don't take it.
Right. Because at that moment, then first of all, we got to have a group around us with discernment. Mm-hmm. We won't be able to participate in the economic system. So prior to that, God will have helped us and informed us of, here's how to prepare. Mm-hmm. And mostly I think it's just going to be who you're with and how you're associated with your community. And then it'll be during that first half of the tribulation, God says, I will be doing things supernaturally mm-hmm. for you. So that, like, for example, the multiplying of the loaves is, I'll be able to multiply food for you. Mm-hmm. And you got to learn that's the way I operate, you know, that God operates. So if we do, then we'll get through that tribulation, because it moves from, at that moment, it moves from keep inviting people, helping them understand to know me and then to walk with me. When that happens and the tribulation starts, we actually go a different direction. And now it goes into protection mode. Mm. And that is, I got to protect you to get you through the forces that are now coming against you, including the Antichrist, who is going to persecute you. Mm-hmm. And I need to get you to a place of protection about that. And then ultimately, I think there's a rapture. And then when God's wrath comes in the mid-trib, either we're already taken out through the rapture, or we're protected from the consequences of the rest of the world is having with the wrath. And the example we have in the Bible is Moses and Pharaoh, mm-hmm. is that the nation of Israel was physically there.
Right.
But think of the 10 plagues. And if you go back and read them,
they were awful.
They were awful. But what happened? Well, the Israelites were there. Mm-hmm. It happened. but they were protected from the consequences of it.
Right.
And God says that's how it could work.
Right.
You know, and they
receive specific instruction on how to be protected from some of it too, right?
Right.
I think about Passover and all of that as well, you know.
And the one thing, as I've been processing this recently, God has stated, I want you to bring people into a discussion of deception.
Mm.
That's the big thing that's happening and going to happen. And we got to talk about that. So, you know, we're getting toward the end of this time, but I want to set the premise and we'll come in next time, look at it. But we go to Matthew 24 and read verses, first of all, 3 through 14, and then 23 to 25.
Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows. They will deliver you up to your tribulation and kill you. And you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved."
Okay, and then 23 to 25.
Says, "Then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There,' do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, 'Look, he's in the desert,' do not go out, or 'Look, he's in the inner rooms,' do not believe it."
So as you look at that, he says, be not deceived.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to explore what does that mean. And then he says, even the elect, and he's saying even believers,
mm-hmm,
are going to be subject to the work of the enemy to deceive us.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, it's real and it's possible. So, mm-hmm, so we got to be careful as we look at this, and we'll get into this next time. And I'm going to start next time with some interesting facts that will surprise people about why the deception is something to really pay attention to and things that may not be as you think. And if we understand just a couple interesting pieces of information, it should cause us, and here's the purpose of looking at this. In order for not to be deceived, what do I need to know?
Truth.
Okay. So what we're trying to say is we want to help people have a desire for truth. We have to not draw our own conclusions other than, that's an interesting thing. I wonder if that's important, and should I look further?
Right.
As opposed to accept deception.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to get into that. So tune in for next Friday, and we're going to talk about a couple of very important pieces of information that are going to surprise people. And then we're going to get into this aspect of deception, because if we look at everything that we have to get ready for, it's really this.
Mm.
Is you got to know the truth. You got to have, let me, and by the way, I'm the Holy Spirit and I'll guide you into truth.
Right. It's just not stay the, with
it,
me.
Which by the way, is why we teach people what it means to hear God's voice, mm-hmm, to walk with him, because he'll guide you into the truth, and things will be unique to you of your path. So there's no system like everybody should. No,
right.
It's just, Father, how would you have me get ready for what is ahead? So Father, we thank you for the truth of that. You said, be careful, don't be deceived. And we pray that we'll understand that deeper and go into the biblical truth of that and what you're trying to say to us today that we would receive. And we thank you now in Christ's name. Amen.
And well, thank you so much for sharing, Rich, and thank you for joining us, everyone. If you have questions from today's broadcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments, and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.